morning, everyone. So it's really nice actually having Clive leading the service this morning, because if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, Clive shared with us how recently he's been really challenged about pride and humility. And when I heard that, I was quite interested, because that's exactly what I'd been thinking of speaking about this morning. So that was quite a nice introduction, and hopefully what I've got to say this morning sort of follows on from that a little bit. We're not really surrounded by a culture, by a society that really values humility very much. It's not really the message we're given by society, is it? At least certainly not something that we should be striving for. We don't see adverts out there telling us to go and be humble. Rather, the message we get constantly is to try and promote ourselves, to maximize our potential, rise to the top, stand out from the crowd, be the best we can be. This week, I was watching some football, as I often do, and an ad break came on. And in just one ad break, just a couple of minutes long, one ad break, I was told by Hyundai to drive my ambition. It's all about my ambition. What do I want to achieve? I was told by Gillette to be my best and to follow my own path. Don't be pressured into following anyone else's rules, doing what other people say. I have to follow my own path. It's all about me. And I was told by Head and Shoulders, believe it or not, to let nothing get in my way. Nothing at all. Not even dandruff, I was told. I wasn't to let anything get in my way from achieving what I want to achieve, achieving my goals. We're almost constantly encouraged to strive for success and status, power, influence. Or we're encouraged to seek individuality, to do our own thing, to make our own rules, to be our own boss. It's really quite a selfish outlook on life, isn't it? It's all about promoting ourselves, achieving our own goals. But the Bible urges a very different perspective on life. And it's really a challenge for us when we consider our own pride. It can be difficult to be humble sometimes, particularly if you're as great as Muhammad Ali, who said, "It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am." And hopefully that's not anyone here. Hopefully that's not your attitude this morning. But there are other subtle ways where we can have pride in our lives and in our hearts. And it can be quite subtle at times. But the Bible has a lot to say about humility. And while I've been preparing for this morning, I've really been amazed by just the sheer volume, the sheer number of references in the Bible to humility, to having a humble heart. I'm also struck by the importance that's given as well. It's right up there as something we should be seeking for. Again and again in verses I came across, humility is highlighted as a key characteristic that God's looking for in the hearts of men. One commentator suggests it's no accident that the first of the Beatitudes is about humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It comes first because it's the key to everything else that follows. So we're going to dip in and out of a few different passages this morning, but we're really going to focus and use as a springboard the first six verses of 1 Peter. So let's just read those now. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So this morning, what I want us to think about is I want us to quickly consider two reasons why I think we should be humble, and then spend the rest of the time focusing on two aspects from our passage of how that should be demonstrated in our life. How's that shown in the way that we live? So first of all, why should we be humble? Well, we need to have humility because of our position in God's eyes. Humility should start with the realization of our own position before God. And we need to be honest with ourselves here. We need to be real, and it can be difficult because we really, really, really need to acknowledge our own smallness in the light of His greatness, our helplessness compared to His almighty power, our unworthiness compared to His glory and majesty. And perhaps most importantly of all, we need to acknowledge our unrighteousness compared to His holiness. And it's that conviction of sin in our lives, a realization of just how short we fall of His perfect holiness, perhaps that's the beginning of humility. If we can grasp that, if we can truly understand that, then we can't fail to feel humbled. And in fact, it can perhaps leave us feeling pretty small, pretty insignificant. But we need to be careful. We want to be humble, but we don't want to be wallowing in our humility. We don't want to wallow in self-pity, self-loathing, dragging ourselves along the ground, referring to ourselves as a bag of worms. That's not what God wants. We mustn't confuse our unworthiness for worthlessness, because that's not how God sees us. At the same time as acknowledging our lowly position, we need to accept that we're God's handiwork, His perfect handiwork. We're God's creation, and we're more valued by Him than we can possibly imagine. So much so that He was willing to send Jesus to die for us. I like this quote that came across by Tozer. He says, "A humble man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. He's accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he's weak and helpless, as God has declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time he is in the sight of God of more importance than the angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything." I think the humility God wants us to have comes from a recognition, an acknowledgement of both of those facts. It's nothing special. It's just a realistic assessment of what our position is before God. It's the way He sees us. Weak, small, helpless, but completely and utterly loved and valued. So we should have humility because of our position in God's eyes. We should have humility because of our continuing reliance on God's grace. We need God's grace. We've seen that already when we considered our position before God. It's only by His grace that we can be saved. We can't do that by ourselves. We're incapable of doing that by ourselves. But we're also incapable of really achieving anything of worth for God in our own strength. So we rely on God's grace day by day, hour by hour. The abilities, the talents that we have that we can use to God's glory, we only have them because they've been given to us by God. When we experience successes, when we achieve things that we set out to achieve for God, we need to recognize that they are gifts from God. We haven't done it in our own strength. We've achieved it through God helping us, all flowing from His love and His grace. So really, when we think about it, we've no reason to boast. We've nothing to boast about. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, "For who makes you different to anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" So we need to acknowledge that all good gifts come from God. At the same time, we need to acknowledge that although we don't have strength in and of ourselves, in Christ, we can do all things. I can do all things in him who gives me strength. So again, it's an acknowledgement of our weakness, but an acknowledgement that through Christ, we have great power, great strength. Acknowledging our weakness, giving God credit for our success. So that's very briefly why, at least two reasons why I think we should be humble. So let's spend the rest of the time then thinking about what that should look like. How should we demonstrate that humility in our lives? And the first thing I want to focus on is humility shown by our place in God's church. In many aspects of life, we would often rather be the leader than the follower. Often we want to set the agenda. We want to be the one who says this is how it's going to be, rather than submitting ourselves and following someone else. We're often reluctant to submit to authority. And again, maybe that's a symptom of our modern world where submission to authority is, again, not a very popular attitude. And in fact, to many, submission is almost a dirty word. You know, we want to be our own boss, make our own rules. Again, encouraged to go our own way, be our own boss. And again, that's completely in contrast to what the Bible has to say. Earlier, if you go back a couple of chapters, Peter tells us that we should submit ourselves to every human authority. Paul teaches the same thing. So we're to be submissive to those in positions of authority over us. That includes our political leaders. It includes our employers, our bosses. It includes our teachers. Now, sometimes we may disagree with them. We don't always have to agree. That's okay sometimes. But we still need to learn to be submissive to those in authority. And it also includes our church leaders. And this is the context in which Peter was writing. He says to the elders, he's speaking to the elders here, he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, not looking out for self, having selfish ambition, but rather being eager to serve others. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So here he's saying, those of you who are in leadership and positions of authority within the church, you need to show humility. You can't abuse that power, that authority that you have. You need to be careful. You're there to serve. You're there to encourage. You're there to be an example. And then he turns to the rest of the church. He says, in the same way, just as the elders, the leaders need to humble themselves, so everyone else, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. So that can be a challenge, can't it? Maybe we're not always comfortable with that. Sometimes difficult to submit ourselves to authority, and sometimes almost particularly so in churches, because often we don't agree. But we're told, whether we agree or not, we should be submissive. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't challenge where we see something wrong, where we see injustice, oppression, abuse of power. But we need to do that with a humble heart, not with a rebellious heart. We need to recognize that we all have a place in the church. We're all members of that body of Christ. We all have a role to play. And we should be content with whatever role we've been given at any point in time. We can't all be leaders. That doesn't work. A journalist once asked the composer, Leonard Bernstein, what did he think of all the instruments in the orchestra, what did he think was the most difficult to play? Without a moment's hesitation, Bernstein's answer was, second fiddle. He said, I have no problem finding first fiddles for my orchestra. That's not a problem. But finding someone who's willing to play second fiddle with energy and enthusiasm and passion, that's really difficult. But it's essential. It's essential for the melody and the harmony in the piece. And it's like the church, isn't it? Sometimes we're asked to play second fiddle, and that's as it should be. And that's needed, that's required. Those jobs behind the scenes, behind closed doors that perhaps not everyone sees, that's needed for harmony within the church. So we should have humility. We should show that through our place within God's church and recognizing that place. We should also show humility by our priorities in God's world. Peter says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Now you're thinking, why has he put up a picture of an old coat? Well, this is a fireman's jacket, a firefighter's jacket. And before a firefighter goes to tackle a blaze, they need to get ready. They need to put on their protective jackets, protective trousers, boots, helmet, visor. What they're doing is they're making sure that they're protected. They're making sure that they're ready for the task that's facing them. And that's very much the picture here. Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility. Because you're going out there into the world as an ambassador for God. You're going out there to serve him and serve others. And you need to be ready. And you need to do those things with a humble heart. So you need to clothe yourselves, get yourselves ready with humility. You see, humility shouldn't just be a passive state of being, of not being proud or boastful. It has a very active, practical element as well. Humility should be demonstrated in the things that we do. So before we step out and do those things, we need to put on humility so that we're ready for the task ahead. We don't just need a little bit of humility. We need to be completely clothed in humility, completely covered in it, surrounded by it. And that then should be obvious in our actions, in our words, in our priorities. What do we focus our efforts on? Are they directed towards achieving selfless ambition, promoting ourselves? Or do we put others before ourselves? Do we consider their needs as more important than our own? That's a practical working out of humility. So what does it look like then to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another? That's another key part of this verse, which is to show humility towards one another. What does that look like? How does that affect our lives within the church, within our communities, within the wider world? Well, here are just five very quickly, where I think it can often be very difficult to show humility, but where that is so very, very important and essential. So first of all, our tongues. How do we use our tongues? Do we use them in humility? How do we talk to each other? How do we talk about each other? James likens our tongues to a fire with very destructive potential. He says just a small spark can set a whole forest on fire. And so one careless word can have really destructive consequences. Think about how you speak yourself. Can you be sometimes a little bit careless in what you say? Speak too quickly without speaking, without thinking? Are you sometimes unkind with your words? Sometimes harsh with your words, unnecessarily so? How about what you say about people behind their backs? Do you indulge in gossip? Just like a fire, these things can be really, really destructive in our lives, in our relationships, and in our church. It can be a real force for disunity. So we need to be careful about that. Number two, conflict. This was a difficult one for me. I think this is, for me certainly, and maybe for many of us, it's one of the hardest times to show humility. Times of conflict. when we're in disagreements, when we're within arguments with people. Especially so if we feel that we're in the right or we're the one that's been wronged. And it's our prideful hearts that can stop us from backing down in those situations often. Whether or not we are indeed in the right, are we prepared to give up that right to be right? Are we prepared to give up the right to win the argument? Are we prepared to not have the last word? A proud heart will have great difficulty in doing that. It's one that's really, really challenged me this week as I've prepared, thinking about when I'm in those situations at home, at work. Am I prepared to back down even if I think I'm right? Am I prepared to relinquish that? Maybe it's a challenge for you too. The next one follows on from that. It's forgiveness. It's another really difficult one, isn't it? It's difficult for both parties involved as well, isn't it? It's difficult for the one asking for forgiveness. It's difficult for the one being asked to forgive. It takes real humility to ask for forgiveness. It's a humbling experience to admit you've done something wrong, to say you're sorry. But it also takes humility to forgive, to truly forgive, because you're giving up that right to hold it over that other person. You can't do that anymore if you've forgiven them. You're giving up that right to seek retribution. So many problems in our churches, in our communities, in our world, seem to stem from pride. Because we're unwilling to give up that right to be right. Unwilling to say sorry when we're in the wrong. Unwilling to forgive when we've been wronged. The next one's a bit more practical. Serving. We've already touched on this a little bit, but we all have opportunities to serve. Particularly in the church. Maybe we need to think about, what's my attitude to serving? Do I do it because I feel I should? Do I do it because others might be watching and I want to be seen to be serving? Are you happy to serve? Are you content to play the second fiddle? Are you content to work behind the scenes, no matter how menial or insignificant the task may seem? A humble heart doesn't seek to promote self. Rather, it's happy to do whatever's necessary to support others in that role, to push others forward and upward, maybe lowering ourselves at the same time. And very much related to that is meeting needs. Are we prepared to go out of our way to meet a need that we can see? Sometimes that can be quite an easy one. It gives us a nice feeling to do something charitable. Sometimes that's a little bonus for us. Sometimes it can be really difficult because maybe it's costly to us in some way. Maybe it costs us in terms of our time, our energy. Maybe it costs us in terms of our money. Maybe it means we miss out on doing something we'd rather be doing. It really applies in the church, doesn't it? And we see really good examples in Acts and elsewhere of that kind of coming together of the church to meet needs. So that model is there for us. And it can be a really powerful witness. I've had conversations with people, and they've been amazed to find out that when people in the church are going through hard times, we organize meals for them. We bring them around. Very simple thing, but a really powerful thing. And I've had people who can't believe that's something that the church does because they haven't experienced that kind of community. So it can be a really powerful witness. And meeting needs really should extend beyond our church as well. It should extend out into our communities, out into the wider world. But are we prepared to humble ourselves and go out of our way to meet those needs, to our neighbors, to those around us, to those who are in need throughout the world, really? And this, I think, is really the kind of humility that God wants to see. He's not really interested in a groveling, ritualistic, showy act of modesty or humility. If you look in the book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 58, God, through Isaiah, talks about fasting that he finds acceptable. And he condemns those who were fasting, putting on a show of being humble, without really backing it up with how they lived, how they treated their employers, or their employees, or rather their slaves, how they treated each other, how they treated the poor, the neglected, the marginalized in society. Because, and in that passage, God says that that's the kind of humility that's pleasing and acceptable to him. That's what he's looking for. We need to be a little bit careful, though, I think, that we get this the right way around. The fact is that doing these things, good as they are, that's not what makes us humble, although we can maybe learn humility through them. But if we're striving for humility just so we can be seen as humble, we're kind of missing the point. We almost need to be a little bit careful here that we don't have pride in our humility. It's a subtle trap to fall into. A very easy trap to fall into. Really, this kind of humility comes from a changing of our hearts. And it can be painful, but we should do it because of our position before God and because of the love he's shown us and the love he's asked us to show others. But there is a reward. We shouldn't be doing it for reward, but there is a reward. Peter says, in the same way you're younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So we are humbling ourselves. We're making ourselves lower. The outcome of that will be that we will be exalted. God will lift us up in his own time. Maybe not when we want, in his own time. And ultimately, when we get to heaven, we will be exalted. But that applies today as well. It applies day by day, hour by hour, because I think by humbling ourselves, we make ourselves available to receive more of God's grace and his goodness. Came across another quote that I really liked. F.B. Meyer says, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the more easily we should reach them. I find now that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. And it's not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower. And that we have to go down, always down, to get his best ones. We need to learn to humble ourselves because that's where the best stuff is. That's where God wants to work. That's where he wants to bless us and give us good things. It's not an easy thing to do in and of ourselves, is it, to humble ourselves? If we want to demonstrate that kind of love, a love that puts others before ourselves, it really needs to start with a changing of our heart. It's not something we can do ourselves. We can't force that change in our heart through our actions or even through sheer determination. To think that we can do that is really pride in itself. As Clive mentioned earlier, we're completely reliant on the Holy Spirit. We're completely reliant on God. And so we need to humble ourselves in prayer. And maybe rather than praying that we, a specific prayer like, help us not to gossip, help us not to judge others, help us to give more to the poor, help us to forgive. All good things to pray for. But maybe we should start by praying for a humble heart, a deeper understanding of our position before God, of our unworthiness, our helplessness, and how that should affect how we see ourselves and see others. There's humility in prayer, as Clive mentioned. Prayer involves humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to God's authority, acknowledging our need of Him, our reliance on His grace, day by day, hour by hour. And God says if we do humble ourselves, then He'll hear us. In 2 Chronicles, God speaks to Solomon and says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." So it comes back to prayer. That's where it needs to start. If we want to have a humble heart, we need to pray. We need to spend that time humbling ourselves before God, asking for His grace, asking for an understanding of who He is and who we are. And probably I could do no better than to leave you with the example of Jesus, who Himself, throughout His ministry, continually went back to His Father in prayer. If Jesus had to do that, then how much more do we need to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we worship an amazing God, an almighty God, the creator of the universe, who is bigger and more powerful, more holy than we can grasp. Lord, we recognize our smallness and our unworthiness in light of Your glory and majesty. But Father, we thank You that despite that, You love us. You value us more than we can imagine. Father, I pray that would sink into our hearts and that it would help to change us, to help us to see us, see ourselves and see others as You see us. Father, help us to continually come back to You in prayer for that nourishment, that power, that building up that we need day by day, hour by hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.